Is it hot enough for you? Man, I'm telling you, it is hot. You know, I have a little garden, you know, something that I mess with, a little raised garden. I'm not a professional like, you know, two people in here, you know. I don't want to say their name. You know, Brother Robert Pittman Sr. and Brother Charles Moore. You know, I'm not an expert like them. But I've learned from them. Amen. I've learned from them. And I've heard stories that, and I'm making a point here, that watermelon likes sun. So I don't have the ground space or anything, so I was being creative. So I put the watermelon where the hottest part of the house is, which is in the front, because there's plants that they said needs all day sun. Well, those plants burned up, and I was watering those plants, but they burned up. So I was told that watermelon loves sun. And so having the watermelon in the hottest part of the house, outside, where it's all day sun. Y'all know those watermelons are thriving. I mean, it's almost as if they're rejoicing. I mean, they're loving it. I mean, I go out there, nothing is, I mean, they're just, you know, I give it a little water and it perks up. But my point is, they're rejoicing. And all the plants that they say always got to have all day sun, I think they may want to revisit that, because those plants are like this. I give it some water, it just so I'm like, man, I actually want to take it back so I can get my money back. Because that plant, I'm like, all day sun, and you're not doing what? But thanks be to God that the experts on the watermelon is true. They say they don't like to bathe in the water, but they do accept water. So praise be to God. My watermelon is I can say is really looking good. And man, I'm thankful for that. John 15th chapter. Glad to see Robert Pittman Jr. in the house. Amen. I was talking about him and now he showed up. Amen. Isn't that how it works? Amen. So that's why you gotta call on the Lord. You call on the Lord, he'll show up. I was just asking Brother Moore. I said, hey, what Brother Robert Pittman Jr., where is he at? Next thing you know, here he is right here. That's how that works. You call him up and they'll show up. And man, I got word that his job is got him working like that. So take care of your job is what my grandfather would say to me. Take care of your job. And man, it's good to be working. Amen. John chapter 15. Are we there? I'm reading from the King James Version. I almost threw y'all a curveball to say Luke just to see if y'all was still in John. Think y'all know me by now. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abide in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. Another way of saying abide is basically to remain. Amen. To remain in me. Amen. I just want to talk about, I know for the past couple of Sundays I talked about excuses. And I talked about being busy. I want to talk about connections. You know, we live in a time where we can stay connected better than we could years ago. I remember when my cousins all went to the military and distance came between us as far as, not as far as a relationship, but as far as the miles, because we are still close to this day, even though we are miles apart. I remember writing to my cousins, and man, you have to literally, you know, that's old fashioned, you have to write a letter, you know, and that's how you communicate it. I don't know if you all remember that, but that's what we did. But you wrote. That was the connection part. You know, now things have changed. You know, sometimes you have to, when we do talk, you ask them, did you get the letter or whatever? Letter hasn't even arrived yet. But that was a form of communication that we wrote to them. And my point is that, you know, years ago, that was the way we communicated. And I'm sure there was some other ways that, you know, that was communicating. But now we have FaceTime and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram that allows us to stay connected to one another easy. You know, there's times where, you know, when I get a call and, you know, my aunts want to speak to, you know, my children, they FaceTime because they want to see them. You know, that is a good connection. That is a blessing to be able to do that. And it's a way to stay connected. I see a lot of times my wife, when she's talking to her brother, they're FaceTiming. You know, they can see one another and talk to each other, even though that they're miles apart. You know, that is a blessing, and the staying connected. So it's easier nowadays for us to do that, staying connected to people who are halfway, you know, around the world or across the country. You know, we have that way that we can communicate with them. But regardless of what technology you are using, whether it is a cellular phone or a satellite or cable or even an old-fashioned phone line, communication technology is only as good as its connection. Amen? It's only as good as its connection. So if the connection isn't solid, you will not have a good flow of information. You won't be able to understand what the others are trying to communicate to you and share with you. Jesus is working to make basically that same point when he introduces them and talking to them about, you know, the vine. You know, back then they were familiar with the grapevine. Amen? Not the song, but the actual grapevine. Amen? So here it is. Jesus was basically trying to get them to connect with him. Staying connected to Christ is about more than just hearing his words. Staying connected to Christ is life itself. With these words, our Lord Jesus is really pleading with us and sharing with us. When Jesus used the grapevine to describe himself, what does a grapevine do? Well, it produces, it provides nourishment and life to all the other branches that is connected to it. So everything that is connected to it is going to provide the necessary nourishments that it needs to grow. You know, I was, talking, just the other day to my uncle about, the tomato plant. And I said, hey, if I pull this tomato off, will it turn red? You know, I'm just asking the question. And he said, eventually it will and it can. He said, but if you want it, it won't taste the same if you pull it off. He was basically saying the best way to get it to taste better is to keep it on the vine, is to keep it on the plant, rather. And that's the way it will be a more natural taste for you. So, I mean, I understood that. You know, he didn't know where I was going with it, but I understood what he was saying. I mean, I was using that as a point, as a message for me. You are the branches connected to Jesus Christ. At your baptism, when you confess the faith in Christ, the water didn't save you, but the connection. Amen? That's what saved you. I've heard some preachers say you can go down a dry devil and come up a wet devil. You know, my point is that your confession and faith to Christ and your connection to him is what's saving you. Amen? That's what's connecting you to him. If you want to receive what Jesus offered, then you need to be connected to him. That connection only comes through Jesus' word. He says, if you remain in me, in other words, abide in me, and my words remain in you. See, we will receive what God is trying to give us. Because the only way you're going to receive it is that you got to be connected to him. And you're going to receive those things that he has promised us through the connection. The inspired word of the Bible are what gives us the connections to Jesus. Those words gives us the connection and the strength that we need. How many of you have read something in the Bible, man, and then it just gave you that extra that you need in your day? I mean, it was the word of God. And there was one thing I like about the word of God, it is that it does not go out of style. I mean, it does not have an expiration date on it. Amen. You know, we're familiar with expiration. Everything we buy has got an expiration date on it. Everything that we look at has got an expiration date on it. At some point, it ain't going to be as good as it used to be. Amen. I mean, I buy something from the store. I try to reach all the way in the back of the refrigerator because that's the stuff that they just put. They put that out there. That stuff that's up front, that's the ones that's going to expire. As soon as you get out the car, it's gone. So I try to reach all the way in the back and grab the milk back there. Some of y'all may not know that, but you know it now. So you learn something today. Reach all the way in the back and look at it. It don't expire until probably next year sometime. When you are connected to Jesus, you receive power. You receive power due to your connection. In life, we need to connect to a power source, to supply our power need. When we attempt to draw more power than a circuit can provide, we will be left powerless. Amen? Jesus is the only source of power that can supply all of your needs. He's the only source. I don't care what anybody else tell you, he's the only source. That's why in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to us. He's the only one that can supply the type of power that you need. If this power is for us to receive, then we need to stop living powerless. We are not powerless. Power comes with connection to Jesus Christ. He told the disciples to tarry here, to wait, and he was going to receive them the power that they needed to carry on the mission. Amen? That's what he did for them. See, before the power, they were powerless. They were all hiding. Read about it. They were all hiding in one room, afraid of being persecuted. So they were in one room. But when the Holy Spirit came, like a mighty rushing wind, came inside of their room, it gave them the power source. And guess what it did? It didn't make them stay in the room. It got them out of the room preaching the gospel. Why? Because now they have received power. And what was the reason? Because they were now connected to the source. One of the worst things that can happen in your home is to lose power. I remember the other day the lights flickered. And my daughter, I know she's going to always find me. The lights went out. And so sure enough, she don't need no flashlight. She'll find me. Lights went out, and immediate panic goes. Why? Because they're not accustomed to not having power. Amen? They're not accustomed to that not having. So I had to let them know everything is fine. I let them know. So this is why I tell them, you don't mess with this section right here. This is where, when the power goes out, I can go and grab this real quick, and I can give you all the lights that you need. Amen? One of the worst things that can happen in when you lose power in the home is not having any heat in the winter. Or in the summertime, no AC. I was over at my grandmother's house, and she didn't have the AC. She didn't turn it on, you know, when they did get it. And I'm like, well, why have it if you're not going to turn it on? I didn't say that to her, but I was saying that to myself. I had one of those talking to myself moments. You know, had everything open, had this big old box fan that set up, and, you know, and everybody wanted to stand in front of it. And, man, and you tell people to move, and you get the fighting. See, when they get hot, you get the fighting, you know. Folks want to get in front of the fan. But the worst of all is that when the power goes out, guess what? Folks don't know how to function without a phone or internet. People lose their mind when the power go out. But the point that I'm trying to get you to understand is that we need power to function. We need power to succeed. When we have no power, nothing works. Majority of the stuff in your home, I guarantee 95% of the stuff in your home needs power. Amen? This ain't the old days where you can heat this iron up and it stays hot and you go and iron your clothes. No, I don't think anybody have that in their house anymore. See, those days are gone. You need power. Everything that's in your house, you need power to make it work. All the high dollar things that you are so proud of, that you are thankful for, man, if that thing don't have any power to it, it ain't nothing. That nice size smart TV you have, when it's connected to power. But what about when it's not connected to power? Is it smart? It ain't smart enough to turn itself on, is it? No, my point is that it needs power. Amen? It needs power. It's basic. That TV is just a broken picture frame, TV frame on the wall. And if you still got one of those, remember when the big box TVs was out? When that went out, it was just a piece of furniture. You took another TV and set it on top of that one. Y'all remember those days? You took another TV and you just set it on top of that big box TV that you have there, and you still using furniture polish to clean it and everything. Why don't they just get rid of it? They like, oh, I paid for that. I'm getting my money out of it. I think you did. It's gone. Even in your relationship, it needs power. Your marriage, your family, your church needs power. Your calling in God needs power. That's why the disciples were in that room, and Jesus knew that they need power. What I'm saying is that we need power. Amen? We need it. We are in need of power in every aspect of our life. If God has promised to give us power, then we need to stop living powerless again. Power is yours to receive through connection to Jesus Christ. If power is yours to receive, then again, we need to stop living powerless. When you are connected to the Holy Spirit, you will receive this power that I'm speaking of. Power comes through connection. It makes sense in the physical. Your house, again, is literally connected to power. Without that connection, there is no power. If you don't connect your phone to a charger, then it will not receive the power. You know, even your phone would even tell you how much power you have remaining. Y'all ever realize that? Yeah, you do, because that's why you go and charge your phone. Because you realize, and there is even a bar on there that gets to a point where it's kind of like, I know on my phone, it'll let you know when it gets like dangerously low. Amen? It'll let you know that you need to connect to a source real quick. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we had something like that on us? It'll say, you haven't been to church in a while. You haven't been connected to Jesus in a while. Your power is getting low. I can see that on you. Because it's all the way down there by your toes. It needs to come up a little. Amen? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you saw somebody like, hold up, you kind of low. Come on. Come on this way. Bring them to church. You know, grab folks when you see them, you just grab them and say, come on, you going to church. You low. You don't have no power. But that's the way we see our phones. Our phones are low. And immediately, what do? We go, what a charger. We looking all over for the charger, right? We going crazy because we trying to find the charger. Man, wouldn't it be a blessing if we went crazy for the Lord when we get low and we say, oh, I need you. Have that same type of attitude. This is why you need to understand why the worshipers worship the way they do. You understand why they sing and raise their hands the way they do. Why they pray the way they do. Why they talk to God the way they do. And why they lift up those hands and praise and worship God is because what they're trying to do is connect to the power source. They're connecting to Jesus. We need to connect in order to have power. When we don't connect to God's unlimited power, we try to use our own limited power. I remember one time I had a Hyundai Elantra, and I was driving, and my battery was basically just not any good anymore. And so I could drive it, but I couldn't turn on the AC. So I'm driving it and I'm thinking that I'm good. I'm young, in my early 20s, don't really know much. Driving it, I turned on the AC, and next thing you know, I stalled. Right there in the intersection, I said, you got to be kidding me. I wanted to just kick this car in the back taillights. Stall on me. So I had to get out, and I had to push this car. And I was pushing it. I was like, man. And next thing you know, my youngest brother, D, he came out of nowhere. And I ain't even see him. He came out of nowhere. And next thing you know, we start going like this. And I was like, D. I was like, I hopped in. I pulled over to the service station. And if any of you all know my youngest brother, he was like 6 feet, 250, close to 260. He was big boy. You know, before he passed, he was big boy. And I jumped in and I was like, man, what's wrong with this thing? So what I understand is that even though I had the radio on and I had everything on in the car, the AC was demanding too much power. Amen. So I could drive it fine. When I got a jump, I can drive it fine. But man, when I turned that AC on, car went dead. The AC was demanding too much power. Listen to where I'm going with this. I remember watching an episode on Good Times. I love that show, y'all. I'm just an old school person. Spiritually, I'm probably about in my 90s. But physically, I'm, pretty young. I just want y'all to know that. But I was watching the episode of Good Times, and they were playing this record player. And the record player, when they turned it on, they got the dancing, then all the power went. I don't know if y'all remember that episode. The power went out in the apartment. What happened was that it was an overload on the circuit. The circuit breaker distributes power throughout the home, okay? And it will send so many amps of power to various parts of the home, to the kitchen and to the bedrooms, and will send various amps of power distributed throughout the home. But when they used this record player and everything else was on the same time, the record player would try to draw more power than the circuit could provide. So this would overload the circuit and it caused it to shut down. What happened is that the record player was basically demanding more power. Here's where I'm going with this. Now you can reset the circuit breaker. Breakers trip when the circuit has become overloaded, but it does no good to reset the breaker if you don't disconnect unnecessary items. Amen? So it's possible. Listen to what I'm saying. It's possible for your power needs to outweigh your power supply. Amen? I know I'm preaching. If y'all don't say amen to me, I know I'm preaching. Yeah, I get happy myself on the inside, but I try to contain myself while I'm up here because I got to get you all the message. We often connect to things. We often connect to things and ask for more power than they can provide. There are some good things you can connect to, but they can't supply all of your needs. Amen? Relationships are good. Marriage, family, friendships, that's good. These are godly ideas, but can these relationships supply you with the power you need? Try getting happiness from a relationship and you will end up with an overloaded circuit. No person can make you happy all the time. Situations of life will bring about seasons where you need to draw more from a relationship than it can supply. This is why the Bible says, Jesus' word, he said, I will supply all of your needs. He didn't say your husband, your wife. He said, I will supply, because he knows that one person will not make you happy all the time. Only he can do that. Careers are good. Money in the bank is great. Promotion, success, influence, these are godly ideas, but they can't supply you with the power you need. Try getting peace from your bank account. Some of y'all don't even like looking at it. But try looking at your bank account and try to get some happiness. Or look at your retirement account and you close to retirement. You ain't going to be too happy. It ain't going to supply you with what you need. The economy is never something that provides true, lasting peace. In the midnight hour, when you can't sleep because you are worried and fearful, your career cannot supply you with the peace that you need. Try getting fulfillment from your little success that you just received. Your latest victory is not enough. The latest victory ain't good enough. You know, when my boss did my evaluation, I had like exceed all expectations. So when she got ready to do my one from this past year, you know, she said, I told you that you weren't going to get that again, didn't I? I already knew it, because what she's basically saying is that nobody is going to top that year in and year out. I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't upset, because I know that is a hard feat to accomplish. Exceed expectation. Now, guess what I got? The traditional. Meet expectation. I can keep my job for another year. It's that below expectation. Amen? You below expectation, oh, you better be doing some prayers. So you can't get happiness. You can't get power from your last victory. My last evaluation prior to this year, you know, I'm telling you, it didn't last long. It was gone. No amount of success will supply the fulfillment you desperately need in life. Yeah. Try enjoying life from what other people think about you. y'all understand what I'm saying? Try to enjoy life from what people think about you. You know, my good friend, Pastor Terry Harris, he's a very wise young man. He said to me some 20 years ago, he said, you're not as good as people say you are. And he said, you're not as bad as people say you are. He said, you're somewhere in between. And he told me that. He said, you remember that. He said, no matter how much people talk about you, you're going to always be somewhere in between. And see, here's the thing. People will try. Y'all ever seen people try to draw pleasure from drugs, alcohol? That's happy hour right there. That's just going to go out and drink. You know, I'm like, you know, they invited me. And they're like, let's go out and drink. For what? I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do. But that's happy hour to them. Some people get happiness or try to get happiness from sexual encounters and all of this type of stuff. Or some people go skydiving out of a plane. They reached a certain age, and now they want to take their chances and go skydiving. Or some people want to do zip lining. They ain't talking about nobody in here. But it's just some of the things, the excitement that people are looking for happiness. Amen? Folks just do all kind of stuff, you know, to try to get some type of happiness out of their life or whatever they try to do. And here's the thing, you know, Jesus always, when he came convicting. He came telling people about themselves. He came telling them that the kingdom of God is at hand. And when Jesus was preaching to them about the grapevine, you know, about the true vine, basically he was saying that you all need power. He was basically saying to them, stay connected to the true vine. You need to connect to the power source, amen, to supply the needs that you need. The Bible is stern when it comes to connection. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, and I didn't put all these scriptures up there because sometimes, you know, I'll just say the scriptures. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 16. It warns that if you connect yourself to a harlot, you will be one with an harlot. Amen? That's what the Bible says. It also says, you know, do you know not that he who unites himself with a prostitute is the one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. Listen to what I'm telling you. You have to be careful. Let me just say this to you. I was trying to teach this to a young man years ago, close to 25 years ago. I was trying to teach him this. He said, you know, his mother was a preacher, and his mother was trying to tell him not to hang around these bad people. And so he didn't see the reason what was wrong with it. But his mother was trying to give him some insight not to hang around this bad crowd. But he insisted on it. So I didn't get involved in that. I didn't say anything. But then he brought it to me. And then so I just said one little thing to him. And he said he was trying to get me to side with him because I was young and I can relate to him. And I said this to him. I said, what happens when somebody is around an individual who has a cold? And then he kind of looked at me. He knew the answer, but he didn't want to answer it. That's when you know you got somebody. When somebody don't give you an answer, they gave you the answer. So you don't need to say anything else. But he wanted to debate with me. I said, no, you answer my question. Then I'll proceed. My point is, if you hanging out around somebody with a cold, pretty soon you will have one. What's the best way to immune yourself or to not catch what they have? Separate yourself from them. It's what I was trying to tell him. He knew it. He got it. He was rebellious. He was going to do what he wanted to do anyway. And I see the gentleman to this day, and he has done that. So this is my point. People are going to do what they want to do. And this is why I heard some people say hell has enlarged itself. So, who is connecting to you? There is someone trying to connect to you. This is a good and it also is a bad thing. Let me explain. Too many people try to connect to you and it will leave you with an overloaded circuit. I had somebody, you know, years ago was trying to connect with me. I mean, was draining me with the word. Now, I was throwing the word at them, but they were draining me. Then I got to the point, I said, hold up. God said, I said, search the scripture for yourself that you may rightly divide the word of truth. So I had to give them the word of God, and I had to tell them to study that. Because what was happening is they were draining me. People would try to connect to your money until you don't have a penny left. And they will have basically left you in debt. Y'all ever seen, and I'm using this only as an example, y'all ever seen a little baby who you can't get to come to you? But get something. Okay? Get something like some chips or something that baby will look at you and all of a sudden they want to be your new best friend. They are with you until the chips are gone. I mean, I even had a baby to even do like this. I was going in there, and they was going in there. They were happy. They were all with me and everything. I was like, oh, I got them next to me. Don't even know they standing next to me because the chips got them mesmerized. So when the chips were gone, this is what the baby did. Didn't see no more chips. He was done with me. Now, I'm not saying that the baby gave me deuces, but I did say the baby walked away from me. But what I'm saying is that baby used me until the supply was gone. I was hurt. That was wrong. Nobody corrected the baby, but they want to look at me. You got any more chips? No. My point is people will use you. People will try to connect to your happiness only to drain you and pull you into a depression. Some people want you to be just like them, miserable. I promise you, listen to what I'm saying. people try to get you to be like them. No, that is wrong. We should be like Christ. That's who we should be like. Let me say this to you. You are not the source. You can't be anyone's supply. As pastor, I cannot be your supply. Watch where I'm going with this. For you say, huh? You should only connect with me as I am connected to Christ. Now, let me hit you with this. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul didn't say connect with me because I'm the source. He said, no, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what he said. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 1 to basically understand what the preacher is saying. So I cannot be your source, but I can be a connection to the source. Amen? The people that are connecting to you, it is your responsibility to connect them beyond you and get them connected to the source. For example, if I had an extension cord, this extension cord is not the source, but the extension cord is an extension to get me to the power source. But the only way I'm going to get to the power source, I have to utilize this extension to get me to the power source. Without me connecting to this extension cord, I can't make it to the source. This is what we are. We are an extension of Christ. Don't connect yourself to yourself. I remember, see, when people preach, it stays with me, and especially if it's a good message. You know, if you're preaching something that ain't right, it's going to mess me up, and it's going to have me sitting like, and here's the thing. You know, I remember Minister Cora's up here, and she said something that was wrong, but she did that to mess with me. And she knows she did, because she saw the expression on my face, and she messed with me, and she corrected herself, and she told me afterward, I was messing with you. I know you was, because when she said it, I was like, huh? Well, that don't sound right. But my point is, I remember my brother was preaching a message, and he used a surge protector. He said many people are walking around. He took the plug and he plugged it into the surge protector, trying to get power. He said, how are you going to get power from yourself? Now, he preached that when he first started preaching. So that tells you how long ago that was. It is very humanistic idea to connect to yourself. The world will preach you the sermon that you need to look within yourself to find happiness, peace, and fulfillment. That's a lie. Let me tell you something. When Jesus came here, he didn't come here to preach you a feel-good message. Actually, it was a feel-good message, depending on how you took it. But if you took it in the wrong, generally, if you ain't living right, you ain't gonna like the message no way. So let's just go, let's just say that. Amen? I mean, for real. If you ain't living right, you ain't gonna like the message no way. But if you living right, you gonna say, preach! But if you ain't living right, you're going to be like, I ain't coming back to that church. This is my last Sunday coming there. He just don't know. Am I right? I mean, folks don't like when you tell them about themselves. They don't want to hear that. You know, if you got somebody that's stealing, oh, here come old thieving so-and-so, they don't want to hear that. Next thing you know, they're like, honey, you want to be around now? They're going to leave. We need to understand, we are not the source that will supply the power you need. The church, at its best, when it is the connection point, listen to what I'm saying, a connection, the church is simply a connection point to Jesus. That's all it is. This church building will burn down Understand what I'm saying. It will burn down. This is brick and mortar. This is a place where we come and worship. Yes. But this is not the power source. If you want to get connected, you got to go to the station. Yes. To get connected. Here's what I'm saying. If I want to catch, what, Bi-State bus, what do I have to do? Do I go to a car wash? No. I got to go to a bus stop to make the connection to get on Bi-State. Let me see. If I want to ride Metrolink, do I go to a car dealership? No. What do I have to do? No, I got to go to a Metrolink station in order to get the connection that I need to get where I need to go. So what I'm trying to tell you is that you need this as a connection station to Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, I know I'm preaching good. Y'all know something? See, here's the thing. When you got somebody that is delivering a message and trying to help you get to Christ, you need to get connected with them. You need to have them come into your life and use this as a connection station to get you to Jesus. Jesus was basically trying to say, I am the vine. I'm trying to connect you to the Father. In other words, you accept me, you're accepting the Father. I'm a connection station. If you're unemployed, where do you go? You go to an unemployment office. Why? To get a job. In other words, you're going to a station to get you connected to what you don't have. Y'all, let me just say this. Let me just use this for a moment. Y'all ever see somebody that's real excited about what they're doing? They are joyful. You know, you go over to Brother Moore's house. Brother Moore will be talking to you. He's a person that, and it's a good message. He's a person, not only is he going to tell you, but he's also going to show you. You go over there and talk to him, and he's going to be like, come here. Let me just say this. I would do the walk, but I'm not going to do that right now. Because if I did the walk, he'd think he's actually walking up here, and he's sitting right there. But I'm telling you, he'll be like, come on out to my garden. Come on out. And you come and you follow him. And he's out there in his garden, and he's showing you. See, he's excited about telling you. But he loves it better when he show you, because he's showing you the accomplishment. He's showing you what a seed will produce if you do what it's supposed, if it does what it's supposed to do. What I'm saying is he is so excited about what he's doing. This is the way we should be in a household of prayer. When people say something about Jesus, we ought to say, come on. I can not only tell you, but let me show you. My point is, the church at its best, when someone walks in saying, I need help, we need to connect them to Jesus. Not connect them to a song service. Not connect them to a denomination. Not a sermon or personality. We need to connect them to the source. And the source is Jesus. You got to connect them to the source. Don't connect them to me. Great, bring them here. But I am not the source. I cannot supply their needs. Let me tell you something. I run out of supplies. I be looking just like you. But the one who will not run out of supplies, that is Jesus Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He's basically saying, I can't supply it, but I know where the source is. Now y'all know y'all love a hookup. When somebody hooks you up, they tell you, come here, I know where you can get it from. You all about it, right? You ready to go. You can wait to get there so you can get as much as you can. I'm telling you, God is a supplier. He told the disciples, stay here. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you power, and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come, and I'm going to tell you something, you hiding now, but when the Spirit comes upon you, let me tell you something, I used to be shy, I didn't want to speak in front of nobody, I ran from that stuff, but look at me now, I'm preaching God's word, don't care if I get locked up for preaching, I'm preaching. he'd have stood up in the room, scared. But when the power came, he was connected to the source. Let me tell you something. When you connect something to the source and the power comes to it, you see everything gets to jumping. Sometimes you got to remember to shut stuff off so it won't scare you when the power hits it. That's why you see when people are sitting there and all of a sudden they just jump up. That's because the power just hit them. Woo! As I close, one of the things that I know that Peter didn't preach, he didn't preach, and I'm okay, you're all right. He didn't preach that kind of message. He preached a message that he was telling the folks to get right. Let me paraphrase it. Get right, church, and let's go home. He preached a message to them. 3,000 souls were saved that day. 3,000, in other words, 3,000 souls were connected to the power source. 3,000 watts of power. They were amped up, on fire for Jesus. Ready to preach. Be connected. Stay connected. When you lose connection, you lose power. But stay connected to Jesus.